Good morning, lads. How are you, Jerry and Owen?
You start the day with a good energy.
Good morning, Jerry and Owen. How are we doing, lads?
Yeah, good.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
There's no f***ing filler.
Every time we look at Aston Villa, they're just signing a new extension or a new contract with Unai Emery.
They just like to do this.
I genuinely thought that this was old news. The more times he does it, the better, Jeff.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Now back to the Republic of Ireland's doubleheader against Sweden. Kira Grant joins us. Kathy McNamee rejoins us. You're both very welcome. Kira, which of the styles of play did you prefer? How we went out about the attacking game on Friday night or the more defensive backs to the wall performance yesterday?
I enjoyed yesterday. I think we started well. I think it does obviously kind of, you know, I think Eileen and the girls were trying to stop them playing in between the lines like they did on Friday night, which worked very well. I think we kept them in the wings. But I think the issue was out of possession. We weren't good enough for that style of play. I think we were set up well and we did get the counterplay going, but just at times we just couldn't keep possession. And I think the girls were working so hard defensively that when we got the ball back, we needed just a wee bit more composure to keep the ball for longer to try and get more players up the pitch.
How do you fix that?
Practice. And I think that's why this, you know, playing against top teams in the world, you can do this in the, you know, the Nations B League against the lower ranked teams, score lots of goals, have the freedom to play, look like a very good possession-based team. But doing it against the best teams in the world is the task ahead. And I think, although, yes, it's gone six games now without scoring a goal, I think this will stand to us in the future in the playoffs against teams that are more of our level. I think when we played Wales in the friendly, you know, Wales had come off, I think, a string of defeats against top teams, and they looked sharper than us. They looked, you know, they were much more kind of, you know, clinical in attack, and Wales were a team that we would have expected to beat. So I think coming off the back of this, the experience the girls are getting and playing under that pressure, like at that level against those players, will stand to them in the playoff games.
That's an interesting point, because when I look at the potential teams, Kira, that Ireland might face in the second round of the playoffs, Wales are in that collection of teams, Scotland are in that collection of teams, and obviously it's just recent results. It kind of gives you the heebie-jeebies a little bit about what might actually happen in that playoff. But what you're saying there is a bit more encouraging.
Yeah, and I think so. And I think, like, not that it's a freedom the way we're guaranteed a playoff space, but I think it is it's a good opportunity for Eileen and the staff to play these kind of attacking formations on Friday night, but then revert back to maybe slightly more defensive shape last night, but have almost the freedom to try these things. Whereas often when qualifying campaigns, it's a must win, it's a must draw game. So we often have opted for a more defensive setup. So I think this is a really good opportunity for the girls to try a more attacking possession-based game against the top teams. And look, it didn't, you know, there were chances, as we know, on Friday night to almost win the game, although Sweden, you know, probably should have been a bit more clinical. But I do think this will stand to them going forward.
Yeah, Catherine, you had them in the amber when we did this on Monday?
Tuesday. Bank holiday.
Where would you have them now?
Probably still in the amber, I think. I agree with what a lot of Kira has said there, and it's very similar to as well what Stephanie was saying this morning on Koi Gig. I think that for me, this is very much a time for experimentation. It's a time where we went into this window without, you know, three of our key starters. It was an opportunity to give people game time, see what we can do. And I can understand totally doing the attacking football in the Aviva on Friday and then maybe yesterday going out and doing that defensive performance in the hope that we could get a point. But I would think for the next couple of games, I would love to see a bit more of those team sheets coming in and you're looking at it and you're trying to struggle to work out what the formation actually is, because I do think our eyes have always been to the playoff. But we have an opportunity now, as Kira says, to be like how Wales came when they played us, and having that little bit of an edge, having that little bit of a spark. You know, Katie McCabe's out for the next game because of that yellow card she got last night. Who's going to step in her place? Who's going to be the person that steps up? In fairness, I actually don't think she's been brilliant in the last couple of games. You know, I think nearly all the goals on Friday came from down her side, and last night as well, just got frustrated at silly times and maybe she shouldn't have and things. So who are going to be the ones that step up? I think for me, over the last two games, Jessu has been that person that has really stepped up into this team, shown a maturity. A lot of our play whenever we were making attacks, a lot of it was coming from her and balls that she was putting into the box, and just either there wasn't someone there, or maybe it was someone a little bit smaller like Leanne Kiernan, couldn't get ahead to it. Maybe she needed more balls to her feet rather than crosses in. And then as well, the likes of Caelan Hayes too. Louise Quinn had to go off after 40 minutes last night because she felt a tightness and they wanted to take her off as a precaution, which I thought was interesting. I feel like Louise Quinn is not the sort of player that goes off if she feels tightness. I feel like her arm or her leg will be dangling off and then she goes off. But Caelan Hayes, I thought, stepped into that role really well and led the back line really well and made a couple of really crucial saves for us when balls just skirted away from Courtney. So that's what I want to see from this team. I don't want us to fall back into the old rhythm of we're defensive, we only have two-star players and none of the rest of the team can play football, which is sometimes how I think people talk about this Ireland team, and that's absolutely not the case. There's so many talented, especially young talented players in there that have just maybe had a bad form with injury.
Kathleen spoke there about Caitlin Kira. I mean, you will have seen closer to most her rise and her reputation rise in Scotland over the past little while. Can you talk a little bit about what you've seen from Caitlin Hayes and how she's got to this point where she's so impressive now for the Republic of Ireland?
I think, like last night, again, you'll play her the match on Friday, but last night, just her ability to read where the ball is coming, and obviously her great aerial like skills are amazing. I think every ball that came in, she was either sweeping up. I know she maybe wasn't man marking in the box, but she seemed to be picking up all of the balls that were coming in on the ground and in the air. And she also has great vision looking forward. I know sometimes people say that she plays long too often, but I think, you know, in the Scottish League, she kills teams playing in behind. She's quite calm on the ball as well. I think she is really turning into one of those, like, you know, true classy modern centre-backs, able to play but also able to do the kind of the hard, gritty game. And I think that's almost a reflection of the Celtic style of play. They had a Spanish manager for a long time, so he was very focused on possession-based football. But then it's also the Scottish League, so you have to have a bit of that kind of, you know, aggression in the box as well. And I think, you know, I think she's been in Celtic maybe 4 years now, and I think that's really shaping her into this kind of, you know, modern centre-back. And I actually liked her playing in the middle of the back too, because I think she did offer a lot of cover. But then if we were playing a back three, her getting down the right-hand side too, there's often in the second half of this season, we're watching, when we're doing analysis on Celtic, like Caitlin Hayes is in the box from play as well. And that's when they're kind of playing against maybe a little bit of a weaker team. But she's very confident going forward with the ball too. And honestly, Jessu as well, I just think since Jessu's come back from injury, has had a good run of games with West Ham. She's really turned into a player that we all know she can be, and I'm really excited to see her after a full season, a full WSL season under her belt, because the calmness that she showed on the ball, her ability to take players on, her speed, and then I was so impressed with her defensive work too. There was times she was clearing the ball off the line, and you know she was meant to be playing in a kind of a higher three position, so I'm just really impressed with her as well.
The ability to transition from one style to another is the hallmark of a well-coached team if things are going well. And so this period where we're playing against much better opposition than us is going to be very difficult for the new supporters to fully understand exactly what's going on. I see lots of people already going, oh, this is terrible, I can't believe it, you know, we've been found out. But actually what's happening here is we're evolving as a football culture, and it's going to be a bit painful.
Yes, and that's, you know, with growth, it's not going to be easy and it's not going to be straightforward. There's going to be maybe a good performance and then a bit of a weaker performance. As Kathleen said, we've got a lot of young players on the team as well who've just come in, and it's, again, it's about them all gelling, new staff. And I know Ireland's been in now for a while, but it's just trying to create, as you said, what formations do we like to play with? What can we execute on a given day? And that takes time. And we all know international football, you don't have much time together. It's also been a long season for a lot of the girls. You know, coming back from the World Cup straight into season ends, and now they're, you know, playing international games in the technically summer break. And I think that was shown maybe a little bit at times that some players were a bit fatigued. But I think coming into the next two games, again, nothing to lose, just more opportunity to try things and test themselves, and then hopefully get themselves in a great position going into those playoff games.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that's frustrating me a little bit with the narrative around this last two games in particular, is that people feel like we're going to, because we tried something and maybe it didn't work exactly how we wanted it to, it's another failure. when in reality the goals that Sweden did score on Friday, it wasn't necessarily that our defence was totally sliced open. Like, we were definitely caught in the break for the last one. But also there was just like some sheer class in there for Sweden that we don't have at the moment, and we don't have our in our possession for the next while. And I think doing what we do we can with the resources that we have is the only thing we're going to be able to do for the next while. And as Kira was saying there, getting some of these players who have had like really in and out time because of injury, getting them on a good run of form, getting them a good run of games. Like Leanne Kiernan last night, when she was on the ball, she was so quick. Her touch was, you can see that she's been playing at a WSL club. You can see that she's been playing under a great coach in Matt Beard, just in the way that she's able to take the ball, particularly down the wing. And it's a sort of touch that maybe some of our other players, if they're playing in the Championship, don't have. And that's the thing that frustrates me the most actually about this team sometimes, is our first touches and our passes, and just having that little bit of just trying to get those a little bit more correct, predicting where people are going to be a little bit more. You know, you see it sometimes between Katie and Denise, because they're such big footballing brains that they'll pass a ball and the other person will just know to run into that space. And it's hard to do in an international context because you're not spending a whole lot of time with people. But again, it's not that these games are free passes necessarily, but it is an opportunity for us to do something interesting with the development of this team. And we don't normally get those opportunities. And I think that's a really exciting prospect. But a lot of people seem to want to focus on the results and the other side, which is important too. I don't deny that, but I do think it's a really exciting time for this Irish football team.
Kira, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I think I agree with all of it. I think it's just patience is what we kind of need to ask from the fans. We are playing three of the best teams in the world. You know, this is no easy task. Even if you look at the other groups, we probably would have been having much closer, more competitive games. So, you know, this is the hardest group in the league. So I think fans just need to be patient and trust. And I do think the point Kathleen made about, you know, the clubs that the Swedish girls are playing for versus the clubs some of our players are playing for, there is a different standard there. So if you're training every day at the higher level, coming into international football and the top end of international football, it's just the same as club. So for some of our players, it might be still a step up playing against these world-class players. But for the Swedish girls, a lot of them are playing and training with world-class players every single day. And I think you see that in possession more when their first touch, their vision, it just, there's a much more cohesion. They're flowing. They're not even looking where the ball's going, and they know where their players are running. And I think that's sometimes where some of, like, maybe Katie gets a bit frustrated because she's been at Arsenal for so long now, and she knows probably all of her teammates inside out and what they're going to do, and they know her. But again, that just comes with the evolution of the Irish players playing. Like, you know, 5-6 years ago, there was maybe only 4, 5, 6 players on the Irish team playing full time. And now look, it's almost, you know, 90% of the squad are playing full time. So in the next 3-5 years, hopefully the entire squad will be playing at a higher level, and that's only going to bring the team on. Because the coaches, like Eileen and the coaches, only have them for 10 days every few months. So it's really the coaches in their clubs that are going to develop the younger players much more than the Irish setup can.
Yeah, I guess we're just a little bit concerned about the pathways at the moment. On the men's side, things don't seem to be coming through at the right speed, and it's a big challenge for the FAI to suddenly hothouse the women's game at underage level as well, to make sure that there is that throughput of talent. So maybe we can come back to that. Just in terms of the next couple of years, Kathleen, they're pretty well mapped out now. We will have a playoff for the next international tournament, and then, barring any change in the rules, we'll drop back down to League B.
Yeah, which is unfortunate, but I think it's something that just everyone accepted was a likelihood to happen once we saw the group that was coming out. I think, you know, Louise Quinn said it last week when we were doing media, you don't expect to go into major tournaments and get a group as tough as this one, never mind actually have to qualify for a major tournament.
They'd all be seeded, yeah.
Yeah, because they'd all be seeded. So I think all focus is just on getting to the Euros next summer and the playoff and taking what comes in between that, because we were never going to come in the top two of this group, realistically. Something would have had to have gone extremely, extremely wrong with the other teams for that to happen. So I think there was a general acceptance that this was a good route for now and focus on the short term and then deal with the long term afterwards.
And look, we'll go back to League B and ideally we'll win all those games and come back up as a stronger, hopefully more strength and depth and a wiser group. The trouble is that it will be 2.5 years away for back in Division One.
Yeah, but I suppose it's what are the lessons as well that we'll be able to take out of next summer should we qualify and should we make... I think if we don't qualify for next summer and then we drop down to League B, that is a definite failure.
Oh, yeah. We're going to qualify, right?
Yes.
That's going to be one of the more nerve-wracking sporting events of the next 12 months, is that second round. The first round against the League C team, no problem. It's just that League B team, as I mentioned earlier on, you're looking at the teams now, the likes of Scotland and Wales, as we've seen in recent years, of a very, very similar standard. So,
and that's the weird thing about where we're at the moment, because we had, in the run-up to the World Cup, Vera was very clear that she wanted to put us up against teams that were of a higher standard so that it wouldn't be a culture shock when we got into the World Cup. Then we went into League B and hammered all the teams that were in front of us. Then we go up to League A and we're up against like three of the top six teams in the world, and they're beating us and we're not getting that middle ground experience. So I will be interested to see if there's a couple of friendlies or whatever in the next couple of months who she picks out to go up against. Because do you keep going for those higher level opposition and testing yourself, or do you go for your Wales, Scotland's, that sort of more middle ground level that we'll hopefully be facing off and be able to beat?
It does say on the UEFA website that the teams will be drawn in the second round. So that would suggest to me that it's not entirely based on seedings. So like as it stands, Ireland are second worst in League A. So that means that we get the second best League B team on seedings, you'd suspect. But because of the use of the language on the website, it might just be a draw. I'm not sure.
You get the other
It may not be. I think, is it Portugal maybe is the best team in League B at the moment? Portugal,
I think so,
Portugal,
yeah.
Scotland, Wales are certainly there. But there's a chance that maybe like a Croatia or a Turkey instead is the team that they get drawn against instead, if it's a draw.
We have
the Nations League, as ever, never quite 100% sure.
Yeah. All right.
No.
It's always so clear.
Here, what would you do? Just to Kathleen's point, what would you do in terms of trying to get those friendlies? Like,
I think you have to build up your confidence then. I think, if we play the next two games, England, France, we've gone 8 games without scoring a goal. I think that is an issue, because even though we'll be well more equipped against playing against the top teams, we haven't scored in a long time. So I think trying to find that balance of a competitive team that you would either be confident we'll get a lot of chances, or it'll be a tighter game, but we should be able to score goals. Or maybe is it a doubleheader friendly where you play maybe a weaker team to build up the confidence, then play a bit of a better team building up to that playoff? But I do think trying to build the confidence back up in the attacking players going into the playoff is really key, that we know we can score goals and we know we've gotten better.
All right, we'll leave it there for now.
Yeah.
Kira, good stuff. Thanks a million.
Every time we look at Aston Villa, they're just signing a new extension or a new contract with Unai Emery.
They just like to do this.
I genuinely thought that this was old news. The more times he does it, the better, Jeff.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.